Hello and welcome to our first video of this series, The Curious Characters of Christmas. Over the next 15 videos, we're going to look at Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and the magi, Jesus, of course, and even Satan. And it is my hope and prayer that our time together will help prepare your heart for worship this Christmas season as we celebrate the God who came in the flesh to redeem mankind from their sin. And so hopefully our time together will help prepare your heart for that. And also that there'll be some great practical application in our walk with Jesus as we look at these different characters. And I want to start our time together in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse of the Bible, and look at the genealogies of Matthew. Now, don't turn the video off. I know genealogies don't sound very exciting, but this one really is. And we're not going to read all of these verses. We're just going to look at a couple. But you're going to see in this what I think is going to be a real encouragement for you this Christmas season. So let's start in verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Matthew, in this genealogy, is going to cover Abraham to David, and then David to Jesus, and show the lineage that carries through the line of Judah all the way to Jesus. Now, why are genealogies so important? Well, specifically, why is Matthew's genealogy so important? Well, first reason is because they remind us that the Christmas story is a real story involving real people. It's not made up story like Santa Claus or Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. These are real stories with real people. Secondly, the genealogies reveal the fulfillment of prophecy. We see when we read through these names, and some of them we know their stories from the Old Testament, we see the faithfulness of God to fulfill his promise that he made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, that there would be a Messiah who would come from the line of Judah to restore his chosen people, Israel, and us Gentiles who have been grafted in. And so it's a reminder that God fulfills his word, his promises to us. And the third thing is, when we look at this specific genealogy, it reminds us that the gift of Christmas, right, God redeeming us through the finished work of Jesus Christ, is available to all, no matter what one's past may be. What I love about these genealogies is, for some of them whose story we know from the Old Testament, there were some shady characters that's part of this redemptive line. And for me, that's a source of real encouragement. And what's interesting about this particular genealogy is that it includes five women. Typically, the genealogies from the Bible will include the father and the firstborn son. But we have five here, and I want to look at them, starting in verse 3. It says, "And Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar." And then if you drop down to verse 5, it says, "And Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David, the king, and David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, which was Bathsheba." And then you drop all the way down to 16, and it says, "And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ." So you have five women mentioned. You have Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and of course, Mary. Now, we don't have a lot of time here, but I want to give just a brief bio of each of them. Tamar was the widow of Judah's son, and then when he died, his other son, but she was never able to have a child, and so she disguised herself as a prostitute, went and slept with her father-in-law to get pregnant. That was Tamar. And then you have Rahab, who was an actual prostitute, really was a prostitute, and she was a foreigner, but she helped the Jewish spies hide and helped spare them. And that was part of, of how they were able to enter into the promised land. And then you have Ruth, a foreigner who became a widow, who was only spared because of Boaz, a kinsman redeemer, who ended up marrying her, and the line of Judah and the line of Jesus was able to continue because of that. And then there's Bathsheba, who was part of one of the biggest political and spiritual scandals in Jewish history when David slept with her and she became pregnant and the baby died, but then she would go on and give birth to Solomon, one of the wisest men who ever walked the planet. And then you have Mary. And Mary was a poor peasant girl, an insignificant girl, but God chose to have her be the one who would give birth to Jesus. And when we look at these individuals, what I love about this is that these are the least, who you'd least expect to be part of this incredible redemptive story that God is going to make happen through Jesus. And I love that because it doesn't matter what our past may be. It doesn't matter how insignificant we may think our lives are. We really are significant in the eyes of God because we have a Savior who was willing to die for us and not only redeem us from our sins, but then allow us to be part of His redemptive story. We get to be part of it. God doesn't just save us. He saved us to serve, to have an impact for Him. And I hope in this first day as we look at these genealogies today, that you're reminded that God doesn't hold our past against us, our past failures against us. He came to redeem those failures in our lives and even use those things so that we could better serve His kingdom. You know something? God loves you just as much as He loved Tamar and Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba and Mary. The God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves you and He loves me as much as He loved them. And so I hope that's a source of encouragement to you, that when we celebrate Christmas this year, it's a reminder that God died to redeem us. Our past doesn't define us. He redeemed us from our past failures and wants to use us to be part of His redemptive story, just as we're going to see in the life of Mary tomorrow.